I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast, the new format, Amy and April in separate houses recording over Zoom. We love technology, which is great because this is a sex tech episode all about technology in the sex world. Woo!
I know we recorded this one quite a while ago. It was a great episode. And sex tech, I always was thinking sex tech was virtual
robots.
Reality and sex robots. It really encompasses a wide range of all sex toys and all things that Amy and I have been involved in for a long time within the sex toy industry. So it was a great episode, and our guest was extremely knowledgeable and she's really cool.
Yep. Yeah. We're super excited to share this with you. And I'm so grateful that we recorded a number of episodes before the virus, because they don't have this undertones of it. Not that that's terrible, but we have like this whole arsenal of things that we recorded in, I think like January and February. So really excited to share with you. And before we dive in, we have some feedback, testimonial, and a sex question to answer. And then we'll do a bio and we'll dive right into the podcast.
Bing, bang, boom, Amy.
Bing, bang, boom.
No, you were not. Well, we're still on the same frequency, even though we're not in the same location.
Weird. All right, let's go to some feedback first. So this is feedback from a listener from a recent episode that we did. It was on the episode that we recorded with Kyle Tierman. I love you ladies and all the work that you do, and I wanted to point out a judgment that I felt through the airwaves, and I'm sure you may have not caught. I have had a breast augmentation and Botox. I love that I chose to do that and notice a complete change in my confidence. It's unfortunate that we live in a society that in this case, but it just is. I have had 3 kids, breastfed them for years, and I knew I wanted an augmentation after that. I got divorced and dated 5 years before doing the surgery. Men did not touch my small, saggy breasts. They wouldn't even take my top off, and it was really sad for me. I had to ask them to play with my nipples because I love nipple play. They would do it for a second and then stop. At your age, I also made fun of Botox and all the plastic surgery. I'm turning 50 in a couple weeks, and wow, my views have changed. I will get Botox and all the plastic surgery to keep my looks up. It makes a difference in my energy and feeling sexy in my body. I know you didn't mean to hurt anyone with your words, but I hear those words all the time without people knowing that I've augmented my looks. And I would like to get your perspective as someone who is my age. I'd like to get your perspective with someone who is my age and choosing to keep up with their looks instead of aging gracefully. Again, I love you ladies. Keep up the good work, and I recommend your podcast to all of my clients.
Yeah, this is excellent feedback, and she gave it in the best, I think, way possible for us to receive it. And I just want to touch on the fact that my intention, we were doing our what if stuff, and I'm a person that gets, I do a ton of self-care, if you will, with a dermatologist, and I have had Botox once. My face did not take it well because I have a super small forehead, so I looked angry for like 6 months.
I remember that.
My eyebrows kind of caved, and I'm in no way, I was not shaming folks out there that do this kind of self-care. I was creating like, it was trying to be like an out-of-the-box scenario for folks, because we don't have access to some of these things. We don't have someone that could come over and give us Botox. I mean, I get microbladed eyebrows. So because my eyebrows, obviously, they lose like hair, and they lose things when you get older. And I'm a 37-year-old woman, and I would never shame anyone for augmenting their breasts or doing something that they want to do. Obviously, if you feel good about doing things that give you more confidence, and I encourage you to do that. And I think it's not harming me in any way. And it was more or less to not poke fun at anyone. I just was, we were doing our what if scenarios of what if, dun, dun, dun. And I wanted to just put that out there because people, look, Amy, you were just talking about not being able to get your highlights. You're like, my hair is looking crazy right now. And a lot of people are like learning how to do like YouTube videos of cutting
or their nails.
Or their nails.
People posting their nails right now. And like the new trend is going to be like really grown out fake nails.
Mine, look at mine right now, Amy, on Zoom. It's really bad. So my sincere apologies if it came across to folks out there that I was shaming people for getting Botox or doing any augmentation or plastic surgery. My only intention was to create like a, we were just having a conversation around certain scenarios. So I'll be stoked when I can go back to get facials and my eyebrows touched up when that comes. People that get eyelash extensions are losing their shit too, because you need to get those suckers filled. I've had friends text me like, do you know anybody that'll do a house call? I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
So I feel you, listener. Thank you for actually writing in and saying that in such an eloquent way that helped me receive that that feedback as not something that I need to get defensive about or something that I haven't also participated in, because I too need the estheticians out there of the world. I need, and the, not plastic surgery yet because I didn't have kids. And so I know some of my friends that have had kids are like, my kids suck the life out of my boobs and I got a boob job. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, I would have done that too. Or folks that have had to have a mastectomy and want that, you know, to have breasts, or just maybe they just want a lift, you know, it's each to their own. Totally support it.
And I think what the listener is speaking to also is we live in a society that really reveres youth. And I think it's in all people. It's not just women, but I think there's a strong focus for women to have, and you know, to maintain this youthful look and this picture perfect clear skin. You know, even if you're 50 or 60, like you shouldn't have wrinkles and things like that. And so a lot of this also, I think what this person is speaking to is this cultural idea perspective of, and not just women, again, all people. I know men that get Botox and things like that too. So we're living in the society that reveres youth in the way that people should look, and some of it might be gendered too. And again, thank you for highlighting this for us listeners. Sometimes we, you know, we might say things that we're not really seeing how that might have an effect on people. So we really appreciate all feedback.
I've been trying to explain to my 15-year-old stepdaughter, because she's constantly on TikTok and she'll show me like the top TikTokers. And she's like, oh my God, those girls are like the most beautiful girls. And they have 4 million followers and they're like the hottest people on the planet. And I'm like, okay, what makes them beautiful? And do you think that perhaps we can all find our beauty without thinking that that's what beauty looks like, because they're super skinny? And right now it's like that curve, that butt, you know, but in the skinny little waist, and then some boobs and big lips and the big eyes and all. And that is the look that a lot of, especially teenagers, are going for. And I just encourage everyone out there, as I do to myself, because I get hard on myself at photos that I take, and just encourage people to like, look at yourself and just focus on the assets that you love the most when you take photos. I struggle so much. I'll pick myself apart in photos like, oh my God, I have wrinkles, or, I don't look like the quintessential, celebrities that are big IG famous celebrities that, or even the IG famous people that have sponsors, and that's okay. And I think it's good to be different and you're all beautiful in your own ways. So I just wanted to share that too, because that's something that I'm trying to instill into the teenager that I live with, and I don't think she receives it.
Yeah, she's like, not yet. Maybe I'll talk to you when I'm in my 30s and I get my crow's feet and all that. Yeah. Or some people in their 20s. So,
and she's so gorgeous too. Okay, so onwards and upwards here. So testimonial time, which I'm really excited to read. Thank you again for writing us, y'all. We just love reading your things. So, your podcast has helped me a ton. I'm a hetero female married to a wonderful man, and we've always been very open to experimentation and in sync in the bedroom, with one exception: anal. Love that. I could never really pinpoint why, but I was always against anal play. My husband had explored it in the past and wanted to try it with me, but I never could get comfortable with it. And then I ran across your podcast a while back, and hearing it discussed in such a casual, positive way started to open me up to it a little bit. So I went and I found some anal-focused erotica to get me in the right mindset, and we took the plunge, so to speak. Thankfully, I did enjoy it quite a lot. We are very excited with the new addition to our bedroom menu. I also wanted to insert a little detail that may help others in a similar situation. I first started getting into light bondage years ago, before my husband and I met, and I quickly realized that being restrained ironically made me feel more in control of the play. So we got my restraints out for this session to help with any nerves that may come up for me, and it was a huge help. So thank you both for making the different facets of sex more approachable. Keep up the amazing podcast.
Yay! Hooray.
Yes to Anal.
Anal, we love Anal.
We love Anal.
And the restraints too, I think I should, as I had, this person was talking about nerves that came up, and I had an experience with restraints recently where I realized, as someone who's working so hard on active receiving, not always be like a doer, I need to do something. Restraints helped me to just receive in a more powerful way, where I'm like, oh, I can't even move, so this is great. Now all I have to receive. So yeah, restraints can be really healing and really inspirational.
Wait, I want to share with you, Amy, and I guess to everyone out there that's listening, I have the under the bed restraint system. And every time we have either, a cleaning crew come, which they aren't coming anymore because of the virus situation. They make the bed and the restraints are like under, they're like dangling off, like on the ground. And then sometimes my partner's daughter will house sit for us and sleep in the bed. And then I'll come back and they're like dangling because she changed the sheets or something. And I'm like, oh, well, everybody knows about our restraints. So that's because we don't have a box spring. So they don't, we have like a bed that is, you know, box springless, so they just literally dangle on the floor. So I don't know if that's an issue for them or if they even know what it is, but I always think like, oh, everyone knows that I'm a little bit kinky.
They're probably like, oh my, okay, and they just try to like pass over it right away. They're like, yeah. Oh, you're so funny. I forgot this is not really to restraints, but I wanted to share this real quick. So, and maybe April, you might want to try this because I thought it was pretty fucking brilliant. So I was having sex with my partner the other day and they got the idea. I was like, we need mirrors. I want to be able to see what's going on. I'm like a visual person, but I want to see the whole body, like all of our bodies, there's two of us, and all the things that are happening. And, you know, in certain positions, he gets like a pretty good view of what's going on. And like, I can see some things, but anyways, while we were in sex, he's like, oh my God, I have an idea. This was not inspired by what's going on too with the virus, because everyone's on technology right now. He's like, let's both get on our phones and FaceTime video each other. Wow. So was behind me, like, in, you know, like a doggy style position, holding his phone on FaceTime. So I could see a view of what he could see from behind me. And I had my phone as FaceTime too, with my face. So he could see my face and my reaction, then him, like himself from behind and with my face. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your face looks like,
I'm trying to picture it. Sorry.
So we're both on FaceTime.
Please reenact it right now. I'm just kidding.
See, okay. You and I right now are on a call where I can see you and you can see me, but imagine if we were like, had this handheld, so you're actually having sex with me behind me and you're filming it from your camera, but you can also see my face on its mini FaceTime screen at the same time, and where I'm on a call with you and I have it in front of my face as well, and so I can see everything that you can see and you can see everything that I see, but we're still having sex, we're on a FaceTime call at the same time.
That's when you need a selfie stick, Amy.
And no, I was fucking brilliant, because this is the other thing that happened. Then he took the phone and he put it underneath and on the bed, so it's sitting straight up. So even then he could look from my screen on my phone. This is very complicated, but from my screen on my phone, now he could see the under view of his cock going inside of out of me in a view, an angle that neither of us has ever been able to see before.
Amy's going to draw a diagram of this, everyone, and put it online.
Does anyone not understand what I'm talking about?
No, I get it. Look, it is very complicated. Get your whiteboard out, Amy, and then could you draw that for me?
Oh, yeah. The look on her face is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
There's okay. A lot going on there. But I'm really happy that you had enough time to figure that out and that it was the genius of just wanting to see each other. I'm just going to go ahead and get you a mirror. I'm going to order that right now for you and have that delivered.
I don't have room. You see my bedroom. It's like all tiny and has things.
You know
all
what? You have a ceiling. Okay, Amy?
I know, but then creative. I look all crazy. I mean, I'm into it, but like I have clients that come into my house. They have to walk through my bedroom to get the rest of my house. They'd be like, but I guess I do sex and relationship coaching. So they might be like, all right.
You could get those little stick-on square mirrors and just kind of make them on the ceiling in different formation.
I like it. And maybe when you're allowed to come over to my house, you can help me set that up because you're really good. You have an eye for this. And for our listeners, if you want to try some restraints, we have restraints at purepleasureshop.com and you get 15% off with coupon code shamelesssex. And we don't have the under the bed restraint system on there right now, but there's all kinds of other ones. There's also the Sex Kitten 5-piece faux mink fur love bond kit that has these different ties and they're nice and
ooh,
soft.
The doggy strap harness, doggy style strap harness. Do you remember that one? I used to have that. I don't know. I think I lost it in one of my breakups.
That was a sport sheets.
Yeah, that's a sport sheets one. If you all have that, that's a cool one too. It just adds like a little bit of, it just adds something else extra to your doggy style sessions. Because and then you can put it under your stomach and hold it.
Sorry, I choked on a nut.
You're nuts.
Are you ready for a sex question?
Yeah.
Perk up, but they think we're nuts. Okay. My fiance and I love to have sex doggy style. Doggy style seems to be the theme today.
Oh, there you go.
But I have one issue. After we are done, there's a lot of air in my pussy that comes out afterwards, also known as queefing. I have a tilted cervix, so it makes things where I have to get my ass up in the air pretty far and arch my back a lot for it to hit the sweet spot. Could this cause all of the air, or is it because I am too loose? My fiance says he thinks that I'm tight, but I feel like I'm not tight enough. Should I use Kegel balls or do more Kegel exercises? Is this normal? Okay. Fun story for me. This used to happen to me in like when I started having sex when I was like 18 through like my early 20s a little bit, either with sex, like with doggy style sex or like finger. I hate the term finger banging, but like the early era days of finger banging back in the day when I was like, you know, older teen and like, you know, experimenting with that. I would get air trapped in there and I'd be like, what the hell? And then I'd be all embarrassed. Like, you're not supposed to do that. Like, it's so embarrassing that there's air trapped in there. And I also had this happen in yoga in my beginning days with yoga. With inversions, when I do like shoulder stand and I would put like my lower body above my upper body. And over time, it just shifted. It's like stopped happening. And there's certain positions where sometimes I'll still get a little air trapped in there, but it's not happening all the time. I'm going to say I don't have the perfect answer to this. And maybe April, you have something to say about this. I think if your partner says they think that you're tight, you're probably not too loose. I don't necessarily think this has to do with a looseness. It might be the positions. It might be the, you know, the shape and structure of your body and where you're saying how your cervix is angled. I think that in my experience, what may have happened was that my body just wasn't used to these things because it was so new. You know, I was like 18 and starting to experiment with these things. And then over time, my body kind of adjusted to it, to these different things. You know, my body wasn't used to having sex, having fingers inside of it and, you know, in doggy style positions and being in inversions. And the more I practice these things, the less it happened. So I guess for this person, is this a new thing? Has this been going on for a while? Does this happen with other partners or has it happened with other partners? If it's something that has been going on for a while, no matter who you're with, it might just be, you know, the shape of your body and nothing necessarily, there's nothing wrong with it. So I would say it's normal. And I feel like we need to get away from the idea of queefing being bad, about sounds from sex and air being trapped and like, oh, it sounds like a fart, so it's not cool. I think when it happens to me, I'll just laugh. I'll be like, that's when I'll be like, it's air, just so you know. And they're like, I know. Like, why do you think you need to say that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why you think I just farted on your cocks.
But it's the same thing when you're having sex and you're really close and your bodies make that noise of when your chest gets suctioned together and it's like, and it does like that same thing. And I always crack up. I'm like, that's hilarious. What came up for me What came up for me is the thought that they might be doing a lot of in out. So sometimes if you have the cock coming out and then going back in, or it slips out and then maybe it goes back in, that could get more air trapped in there regularly, which will come out. That's when I've experienced a lot of queefing, is when air gets trapped in. And that's why I always suggest no in outs I'm doing any position really. If that's not the case, maybe it is the angle that your body is tilted and just the way that maybe air can get in there. I would say Kegels are never a bad idea unless you have an overactive pelvic floor that's doing some spazzing. If that's not the case for you and your pelvic floor feels naturally kind of like it's operating at a normal rate, then you could throw in a Kegel exercising ball. They have the smart balls are great. PurePleasureShop.com has those. You can start with the one ball and then work your way up to the two balls. There's, I think the Lilo makes the Luna beads. They have those on PurePleasureShop.com. I would say just for the just maintaining pelvic floor health, throwing in some Kegel balls from time to time is an absolute great idea. It's only going to enhance your orgasms because that pelvic floor muscle has a lot of control over what you're like when it contracts. It can really help you have an elevated orgasm. It can also help you with incontinence if that's ever a thing. And it's adding a weight to your muscle to kind of give you results faster. So it's like going to the gym and lifting a 5-pound weight, right? If you just flex your arm for 25 minutes, you're not really going to get much for a result. But if you go and add some weights to your arm flexing, then you will start to get some muscle tone. And it's the same with Kegel exercises. You can do them. You could squeeze your pelvic floor yourself just to get some faster results and perhaps some better results. You can just add some Kegel balls to that situation to just help you along. I would say you're absolutely normal. And as Amy said, queefing is not a bad thing. So
embrace the queef, laugh a little.
Yeah. And embrace that you're having great sex in doggy style position. That's
and awesome. They're saying they found the sweet spot. And so actually when they said I have to arch my back, I arch my ass way up to get to the right spot. It reminds me of like, you know, if I was getting the queef from inversion, that was me having my hips really high up in that position. So it might just be the angle, but fuck it. You're getting to the sweet spot. Like, embrace it. It feels good. Then it doesn't sound like your partner has an issue with it. So,
all right, let's get to our amazing guest bio. We've got Andrea Barica, who is a CEO and co-founder of O.School, a judgment-free multimedia platform to learn about sexuality and pleasure through videos, live chat, live streams, and more. Previously, Andrea co-founded accounting and tax platform indinero.com. She also served as a venture partner and entrepreneur in residence at 500 startups. She is also the author of the new book, Sex Tech Revolution. To learn more, visit o.school. But first,
this podcast was made possible by Manscaped. If you love the D just as much as we do, then it's time to trim up. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for you or your man's family jewels. We are huge fans of Manscaped's Perfect Package 3.0, which includes the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, as well as their anti-chafing crop preserver and crop reviver. So when was the last time you shaved your pride and joy? Don't lie. If it's been a while, then it's time to give yourself the gift of some beautifully Manscaped balls that smell and feel oh so fresh. Hey, there's nothing worse than a mouthful of pubes.
Penis owners, it's time to step up your game. Penis Admirers, you just discovered a great gift item for your lover. And our listeners get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHAMELESS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code SHAMELESS. Get pleasure the right way and use Manscaped. And now back to the show.
All right, everyone, it is episode time. We are here with Andrea, CEO and founder of O.School and the author of the new book, Sex Tech Revolution. She wears many hats and has done many things, so we'll let her explain more about that. With our very first question that we'd like to ask our guest, Andrea, is, it's Andrea, right? Not Andrea?
Yes.
Yes, I did it right.
Yes. All good.
So how did you get to be where you are today and doing the work that you're doing?
Well, I grew up in a super conservative Filipino Catholic family. So the only sex ed I ever got was do not have it at all until you're married, right? And I also, as a young queer person, was fed a lot of messages about how that was, you know, definitely not okay in my family. And so after I kind of built my tech career, I built accounting software, I worked in venture capital, I really started looking around. And for me personally, I really couldn't find a lot of great resources in between like Planned Parenthood and Pornhub. And I was like, there's got to be something in between there. And so that's how I went from building accounting software and working in tech venture capital and started really thinking about what could that space look like, and that's sexual wellness.
Mm-hmm. So now you're in the business of sex, which is, I love the business of sex. Hopefully you do too, but I want to know more about sex tech, because mm-hmm. that is sort of where your expertise lies within. Is it, when I think of sex tech, and I'm probably wrong, so I can't wait for you to enlighten me, but I think like sex robots and the virtual reality of porn. Can you tell us a little bit more about what sex tech is?
Absolutely. And it, in reality, like what you just described is part of it, right? Like it's pretty much anything that is envisioning what the future of sexuality and what technology, what new innovations, what new technology, what new websites, right? So the web is part of it. But I think the reason people go to sex robots and, you know, this type of thing is that a lot of people don't realize how behind the mainstream internet is, even in delivering basic information, right? Like if you Google, for example, like about some pain during sex, you're gonna get WebMD, you're gonna get maybe Cosmo, you're gonna get some resources out there. And sex tech also involves like all of the companies that are starting to ask questions like, why don't we have, you know, better clitoral stimulators? Why don't we have better pelvic floor exercisers? Like, and anything that's really pushing forward the products, the, you know, and the platforms that help everybody live their happiest, healthiest sexual wellness, you know, for them, for their health, for their general health and wellness. That is kind of what's exciting about sex tech. And it involves, you know, some of the things that you mentioned, but it's really much more than that too.
I saw a video of the AVN show and porn awards in Las Vegas, just happened this last month. And now I don't know when this podcast is going up, but it happened in January. And I saw a video of some of the robots that, I don't know if you've seen this, April, but they literally, the way that their faces can move, like it's crazy. Their cheekbones even go up, and the way the eyes mm-hmm. move, it's like beyond anything I've ever seen. And Westworld stuff. So wait, when does a sex robot become artificial intelligence? Like when are we moving into that? Is that happening? Are we doing that now?
So I was actually at AVN. I was speaking there, and I got to see some of the booths. And I think the question I would ask is, you know, it's interesting like that, you know, in terms of when does it become AI? I think before any of that happens, I think we have to ask too, like, who are the customers of these products? Right? Like, I think a lot of sex tech, and now we have so many sex tech innovators, sexual wellness founders, entrepreneurs, inventors coming in the space. And that's really important because as you see, like, I think the most advanced, you know, kind of examples of those sex doll robot, you know, products, a lot of them are for a specific consumer. And I got to meet many of them at that conference. And so, yes, I think that, you know, in general, a lot of technology we see today, like the future of, you know, AI, but even payments, video streaming, many of the technologies we take for granted were actually pioneered in the porn industry first, in the adult industry first. And so I absolutely do believe that whoever kind of really pushes to, you know, how do we get that, you know, AI robot that can really be a human companion for someone and fill that need. I do believe that the you know, the sex doll industry is going to be in that conversation, or should be in that conversation. At the same time, you know, me personally as a sex tech kind of entrepreneur and as someone who covers the space a lot, I actually think there's a lot of other things that are really interesting because, again, like who's really excited about a AI powered sex doll, right? Mm-hmm. In the end of the day. And while I think it's still interesting, I don't want to, you know, shame anyone. Like, again, like good for people who want to enjoy that. And one of my good friends, Misha Battle, she has you know, she talks about digital sexuality and how a lot of people are getting their needs met from robots. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I don't actually think there's anything inherently wrong with that. I do think there's something really wrong when that's being furthered by so much technology investment and innovation, but other things that would actually help a huge, much bigger audience of people and a lot more diverse audiences, they're not getting funded. They're not like being innovated on. I think that's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what comes to mind for me too is two things. There's we're in this time where folks are more and more disconnecting from connection with each other, you know, with social media and the cell phones and screen culture. And so there's, I guess that would be something of a concern of mine. I wouldn't shame anyone, of course, for wanting to have a robotic companion at all. And also on the plus side, you know, for folks who don't have access, you know, easy access to companionship, to sex, to touch, you know, maybe some folks with disabilities or there's so many reasons why people feel like they don't have access to companionship of that sort. So I think that there's probably a lot of pros and cons, which I'll just ask you this question right now then. So how do you think this is going to change sexuality as we know it? Like, what do you think the pros and cons are of this?
My first exposure to sex dolls was at one of the largest sexuality therapy conferences. And there's definitely a therapeutic, you know, application potentially. Mm-hmm. In terms of how this is going to change, like, I see this as there's so many trends happening, right? Like, I'll just list a few, and we can look at like how the tech industry, the sex tech industry, and the sexual wellness industry, right? Because not everything is sex tech. Like, for example, like a lot of, you know, sexual wellness companies have been around for many, many years. Like, sex tech, you know, is kind of a new word, but people making solutions for sexual problems are really, really old, right? Like, there have been people, especially a lot of women, making new lubes, making, you know, new products for many, many decades. In 2009, Cindy Gallup, you know, the founder of Make Love Not Porn, started coining, really, really pushing the term sex tech. And in terms of how this is going to change things for everyone, I mean, just look at dating apps. How dating apps changed the world, right? Like, it used to be people had to meet in person, and now like a large percentage of people are meeting their partners and through dating apps. And same with, you know, I think the precursor of sex tech was actually femtech, right? We didn't have a breast pump. It's not like babies were invented, you know, or you know, breastfeeding people were invented recently, but we see that. And so how this is going to change is really could have far-reaching, you know, effects on and implications for how we choose our partners, how we connect sexually with each other. And absolutely, in terms of people connecting with digital sexual partners, I think there is a lot of fear because we do see a generation more like separated. There, you know, are people going to be connecting as much? I actually think that what I kind of focus on is how happy are people with their sexual identity, right? At this time, you know, millennials and Gen Z are so much more likely to be LGBTQ. Asexuality, 1% of everybody is asexual in the world, right? So, and are on some spectrum of like the ace spectrum of asexuality, right? There's all of these changes. In 2009, single women outnumbered married women for the first time in American history. Woo-hoo! So at the same, yeah. And so, and why does that matter? It's because masturbation is now more common, and all these, you know, more partners until marriage is happening. And so I think of, you know, people having potentially digital partners as part of this. But there's so many, it's like, it's just one of the things that is changing the world, not like the biggest thing, I would argue.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. As is with everything, right? Like, there's so many technological advances that we have that has so many benefits to people and to sexuality. And not just sexuality, just technology in general is, you know, helping people in a lot of ways. And then there's going to be cons to everything. You know, we can't please everyone. And I know that people have a lot of fear of robots taking over the world. And I know we're talking about more than that. I can speak to, you know, April and I worked in the sex toy industry for how many years have we been in this industry?
Oh, gosh. Since
2008. Yeah, since 2008. And so we've seen a lot of the advances, you know, back in the day when it was just, you know, toys had, you know, a single push button for things, and maybe they were already rechargeable at that point, but now there's the Bluetooth technology, you know, you're connecting people from, you could be across the other side of the world and still vibrate your partner from afar with something like a Wii Vibe, or there's plenty of other products that are doing that technology too. Oh, my bod does too, right? As well.
And sure, and so, you got the Laura DiCarlos doing, yes, biomimicry, and we were on the panel together, and she was talking about how, you know, it used to be like people would release new colors of vibrators. And now it's like, it's real innovation. It's not just, hey, now there's like more designs for the same exact toy. It's like, why don't we, you know, Lioness is doing things about, right, like tracking, you know, data tracking your own orgasms. There's so many awesome things happening there. And I think what I kind of think is actually really important, because there's so much new innovation, is that we need to make it easier for people to discover these products, how to buy these products is actually one of the most behind things that I'm seeing. Like, there's actually awesome products being developed and released, But the average person has literally no way of like finding out about them unless it's on social media or, you know, and God forbid, like, you know, you can do some searches on Amazon and Adam and Eve and other kind of retailers. But right now, sex ed is an all-time low. And that's why O-School, you know, why it's important that why we chose to start with content and education is because we found that lots of people are not actually finding out about all of these innovations that you're both talking about, which I think are awesome.
And I think that I work with Hot Octopus, which is a pretty innovative company. We actually took medical technology and used it for a masturbator. So it uses oscillation, which is medically proven to help stimulate the erectile tissue and help folks that perhaps have erectile issues actually they can ejaculate. And for a long time, this product was, and for many years, and it still was unheard of. People didn't understand it. People didn't know exactly why they would need something like this. And when I now am in stores talking about it, and it almost seems like you're shopping at a Best Buy when you're in these sex shops these days because of where all of the technology is going. And it's a great point to think about us almost one step. We're an electronics company. And when I'm explaining the technology to people, I'm like, you're in charge of being able to handle and explain the innovation to folks like end consumers that have seventh grade level. So are you comfortable with that? And you're talking about genitalia and erectile tissue. So I just wanted to touch on and sort of thank you for that viewpoint. How do people figure out what the innovations are? You can't go online. It's an abyss. So in stores, a lot of folks don't even know what they're talking about.
Oh, and speaking of in stores, everyone, a lot of the products we just talked about, Lioness I've actually experienced before. That's a really cool product that shows you the power of your orgasms on an app. That's really cool. But, you know, Hot Octopus, WeVibe, Oh My Bod, we actually sell at Pure Pleasure. So everyone can go to purepleasureshop.com. You all get 15% off with coupon code Shameless Sex. Shameless promotion. So one question, how much are these brand new fancy robots going for? I mean, I imagine they're not cheap, and so a lot of folks can't afford them. It's a specific demographic, but what are we looking at?
I mean, I haven't looked. I don't have like this, but it's quite a lot. Yeah. It's like in the tens of thousands or the thousands. You know, it's like especially for the most, you know, sophisticated models and the newest models, they're definitely, I mean, I think there are sex dolls that are much less, but I've heard, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, you know, these are what we're seeing.
And so are we at the place where the technology is like these sex robots that are being developed? I mean, I know it's like we're in the initial phase of it. It's like a newer thing that's happening, but are they able to do things like, you know, give blowjobs and lick a pussy and things like that? And also, are they also of all body types? And, you know, is it just like vulva robots, vulva owning robots?
Yeah, I think that there's a spectrum. I'm not, you know, honestly, this goes to show, like, in terms of, you know, where I sit in the sex tech world, I'm like, there's tons of people who, you know, are following that. I think the customer bases for these are small. Like for me, like, I think they are developing it, but it's all about like who's going to be at the end of that willing to buy. And I've actually focused on mainstream audiences. And like, for example, like 50% of American women, according to some studies, have tried a vibrator or tried a sex toy or tried something. And there's still other half of American women who aren't really getting access to this market. And, you know, I think sex dolls, to you know, your point, is a really advanced product, right? It's a super advanced product. And so they are making those. I think there's a lot of custom pieces. And I hear about a lot of hobbyists who are like, oh yeah, we can make it do this and make it do that. But I don't think a lot of them are in terms of what's ready for mainstream purchase. You know, I've seen some cool features, like you said, but in general, like, aside from kind of really cool cosmetic, like you said, like some facial movements and, you know, being able to take the head off of dolls, there's like various things that I saw just recently at AVN. But at the same time, like, I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't like made that the topic of, or the focus of my research in sex tech, because it's kind of like VR porn, like you mentioned earlier. I actually looked into virtual reality porn in a big way a few years ago. And at the time, there were like only 10 to 12,000 headsets in existence. So you're literally making a product for 12,000 people who own a headset. And so people were really talking about it. But when I really looked at it, I was like, this isn't like people, I think there's a lot of people excited about it. But for me, I always look at like, where are the billions of people going to be, you know, impacted? And I don't personally right now see that happening.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast is made possible by OMGS.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made tasteful and inspiring short videos to show you techniques on how to pleasure yourself or another vulva. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years and has changed their lives.
So for all you vulva owners or vulva lovers out there who may already be having good orgasms and you want to take it to the next level, or perhaps you want to explore more variety in your playtime, OMGS will have something just for you. With two seasons, one all about internal and the other all about external techniques, it's better than any book or DVD money can buy. To learn more, visit omgs.com/shameless. Our listeners get $5 off. Check it out.
This podcast was also made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant great for all kinds of sex. It's less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are hundreds of doctors who recommend Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks who are experiencing dryness. You never knew lube could be this good.
So whether you're an avid lube lover or you've never used lube before, Uberlube is right for you. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on the body. Uberlube has endless uses. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth right before an oral sex session, and it totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's gorgeous. It's totally discreet and looks more like a beautiful cosmetic product, so you can even leave it on your nightstand shamelessly.
To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com. Use code shamelesssex and you get 10% off and free shipping. That's uberlube.com. Go check it out. And now back to the show.
Yeah, that's a great way to talk about the next question. And it's kind of like, where is sex tech going and what's the future of this business? Because you're right, there's very minimal amount of folks that even have access to buy those virtual reality, the virtual reality. I actually have one of the headsets. It only works with certain, I got it.
Taxicab porn?
No, it doesn't. It only works with certain porn and it's not that great. I got it like 3 years ago. Anyway, so what do you think is the future of sex tech?
I think that for us to get into even the conversation of, you know, virtual robots and all of these innovations that we're talking about, people need to know where their clitoris is. Like right now, globally, like sex ed is so abysmal. Like the reason, you know, again, we started with the most basic information. Like we help people learn where the clitoris is, the true size of it. It's because many medical doctors, so the average medical doctor globally only gets an average of 10 hours of sex ed, right? Mm-hmm. So even our medical professionals don't know like much about pleasure, right? You both, and with your experience, probably know more than the average medical doctor about pleasure. And if you expand that to right now in the United States, 50% of students aren't getting any sex ed. And of the 50% of students who do, the majority of it is abstinence only until marriage. And so when I do college tours and I'm speaking to like 18-year-olds, many of them don't know where their pee come out. Or like I've met law students who don't know that women can even have orgasms at all. Like that, like I'm still meeting these people. And so what I like to kind of talk about is like the future of sex tech is first just the acknowledgement that this is a space that should be treated like yoga or meditation. It's part of wellness. It's part of health. So for me, the future involves medical and public health professionals treating this seriously, because if it just stays in the adult world, it's only going to be a very, very small population. Like we talked about, like 12,000 people were looking at virtual reality porn. You know, I don't think that the numbers of people using dolls is going to go up in a big mainstream way until we bridge this huge gap of education and stigma, frankly. Like we need to take back the idea that, you know, we don't look to religious or moral institutions to tell us how much water to drink, right? Or what nutrients we have. We rely on medical, professionals, but in this field, you have people like us, you know, people who believe in it and not necessarily really spreading this education. And interestingly, I find that most sexual wellness companies, probably yours as well, both of yours, education is a big part of what you do, right? And that's such a rare thing, right? Like, what if we didn't rely on schools to teach math? We really relied on like banks to teach people math, right? This is just one weird area of society where, you know, this kind of stigmatized industry is also providing this like super valuable education to people. And I think like the future of sex tech relies on bridging that gap. And until we do that, it's going to stay small, kind of underground, or, you know, and I think kink, you know, you see some things kind of moving, like before 50 Shades of Grey, no one was talking about kink. And, you know, before like certain Netflix shows, people like really didn't understand asexuality. And now you have, you know, some like programs that are, you know, some like pop culture talking about it. And so, you know, I think that it's really a societal kind of big task, and it's really undoing this idea that sex is bad and like shameful, which is what this podcast is all about, right? It's like removing that.
So is the category of sex tech then, because I'm realizing it's just like such a broad category, would be like on Netflix, the show Sex Education, and how they had, you know, that was one of the shows where there was someone who was an asexual person there who was asking for advice from the on-campus sex therapist. Like, so do you put that kind of thing where there's these more progressive technological outlets that are educating? And then also part two is that what you're doing at O School? Maybe you can tell us a little more about O School.
Sure. Well, I think that like sexual wellness encompasses kind of some of the non-tech or non-product innovations, right? Like developing, you know, for example, like there are lots of nonprofits who create education. They're part of sexual wellness. Maybe they're not part of like the tech industry in that way. And so I think the sex tech industry kind of follows what sexual wellness is exposing. For example, there's a company called Onut, the founder Emily Sauer, she's awesome. And it's like she, you know, painful sex, really common, wasn't a lot of innovation. She developed a tool that helps people, you know, kind of manage that painful sex with a little insertable, you know, a little insertable.
Like a bumper.
Cushion. Yeah, like a little bumper. And that's sex tech. That's like, that's a product that didn't exist before. And then I think of a company, Laurels, you know, the dental dam has never been reimagined, really. And there's this company, Laurels, that's making, you know, an underwear kind of that helps create a barrier between fluids for oral pleasure and oral, you know, oral activities. And if you think about like who developed the condom, who developed, these are technology. This is about like, this is where it gets into tech. And so many of these things were never redesigned, right? You think about menstrual cups and all of these kind of innovations that are starting to reach mainstream now, but they were developed long ago. And so, you know, I think all of those things are part of that. And in terms of, you know, where O School fits into it, there needs to be an on-ramp, right? Like if only sexually liberated people are your customer base, all of the companies in the space will remain really small and won't reach scale. Like for us, we need to, as an industry, we need to really start thinking about our own platforms. As you know, Facebook, you know, all of the social media platforms are not the place where sex tech is embraced. You know, it's totally, you know, treated to the double standard, that like, you know, we can talk about erectile dysfunction meds, but everything else really is thought of as obscene. And so, you know, O School is part of that movement of like, what is the future of how people get this information? And that's enabled in a really, you know, in a really product and tech driven way.
That's interesting. That again, when I think of tech, I go to like electronics, and you're saying it's innovation. It's something that is new and advanced and informed as well with sex education, with what's happening, what's really happening in the world. So yeah, that's really helpful for my brain.
Reimagining even things that maybe are beautiful yet not oriented for your body. So I'm thinking in terms of like the Hot Octopus finger vibe. It's a finger vibe that's beautiful. It's meant to actually stimulate your vulva. However, it's not this kitschy novelty item. It's elevated, a classic elevated. Is that sort of in line as well?
Absolutely. You know, yeah. So one of the founders I love, her name is Amy. And she found this company called Pulse, right? And it's a, you know, warmed lube dispenser. And she, you know, I saw her demo the product and she lovingly was demoing it. And she was like, yeah, like I just wanted to create like an Apple product level design of a device. And so when you're talking about design, you're talking about what exactly what you're saying, like people really thinking about who's the user for this and how can I make the experience fantastic for them? That's product development. And you know, to your point about, you know, it's not just electronics, like Facebook, social media, these are all tech. This is Facebook's a tech company, right? Like Google's a tech company. So how we get information, all of that is part of the tech world. And the problem is that many of the sexual wellness, you know, brands that came before us, I like to talk about Scarlatine, great resource online, but you know, were they ranking all the time in Google? Like were they resourced the same as a big tech company? Absolutely not. It was all of these nonprofits trying to do this work that really, it came down to funding, right? Like the bigger media companies, right? Cosmopolitan, think about Playboy, think about, you know, a lot. If you Googled before, like, you know, how to have an orgasm, you're going to get Cosmo, Bustle, Refinery29, right? And how people kind of come to these products, that's tech too, because this is about like the journeys of people using the internet to the places, you know, Amazon's a tech company, right? And you know, so... And we all know how like that can be really a challenging place for sexual wellness. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, sex tech involves all the ways that are solving problems that people have, you know, addressing their sexual wellness needs.
Yeah, I love this that we came in like, what the hell is sex tech? And like, because a lot of times we come to these interviews like, yeah, we know a little bit about what we're talking about. We actually, April and I really don't know a lot about what we're talking about. So this is really educational for us.
But now we do know what she's talking about, and we're pretty deep in it. We're in the sex tech innovation portion. I'm stoked to learn more. And what about your book? Because your book is titled Sex Tech Revolution. How can people find that? And can you give us a little insight to what that looks like?
Sure. It was really, you know, partly putting a little bit of a roadmap out there. When I started in sex tech, there were very few books. There was like Vibrator Nation, a few other books that helped, but really there wasn't anything on the topic of sex tech or sexual wellness that I could find from a business perspective. And so I wrote the book to kind of give the, for me, like the bird's eye view. I've been in, you know, raising money in the space, like being kind of had a bank account shut down personally in the space. And so the book is really kind of trying to equip the next generation of entrepreneurs with just a little bit more information about the challenges and the roadblocks so that we get more innovators in the space, and also kind of hints at what I think is the future of sexual wellness, a lot of which we talked about, which is, you know, the cultural changes that have to happen to make sex tech as big, the $100 billion industry it can be. But, you know, again, lots of things have to happen first. So that's what we covered in the book. It's on Amazon, Audible. I did narrate the audiobook, which is fun.
When people get to use their own voice.
Yeah.
You can see why they chose you. Or you have to like interview, you have to like go in and interview with them. Like, is my own voice good enough for my own book? It's a funny process. Because you're kind of a badass entrepreneur, what would be your advice? This is kind of a little off topic, but not really, to other women who want to just like create things and to like step up their game, especially living in a society, in a culture that it isn't necessarily the easiest for vulva owning individuals. Would you have any words of wisdom and maybe what worked for you? If you could just tell someone in a nutshell, how to proceed?
I would tell people that this is the time. And it is not, you know, cis straight white men who own this industry. Cis straight white men dominate every other part of tech pretty much. And that is not the case for sex tech. And there is a blue ocean opportunity. A blue ocean is, you know, there's so much opportunity, right? It's not like a red ocean. It's like a food delivery app. We call that red ocean. There's a lot of blood in the water in those industries, right, to compete in. And sex tech right now has so many opportunities. There's so many audiences that are underserved. Right. And so I tell people there's Kickstarter now, there's Indiegogo, there's so many ways to start up projects. And, you know, we have organizations like the Women of Sex Tech out in New York, and there's so many new ways of supporting those entrepreneurs. And I would welcome anyone to really like put their hat in the ring and start thinking about starting a real business here, because again, it's projected to be over $100 billion by, you know, in like a decade. If you think about it, sex is one of, I don't think it's going away. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we want a world where everyone's pleasure matters, closing the orgasm gap, like doing all of the things that, you know, you and the three of us know, because we've been working in the industry, there are still billions of people who need help, who don't access it, who can't access the things that they need because for whatever reason. And so I like definitely invite people to join. And again, yes, it's hard. It's super hard. It's in the book. It's like a lot about challenges. At the same time, it's an opportunity, because where other people aren't going, we should go. I think, you know, a lot of people compare it to the cannabis industry, which I don't always like, because, you know, cannabis is still illegal in most states. And last time I checked, it's not illegal to, you know, masturbate and have orgasms and, you know, have sex. I mean, it shouldn't be treated like that. It shouldn't be treated like a vice category. But same thing, you know, there were a lot of innovators in cannabis who really started early and drove that. And I think that's the opportunity right now in sex tech.
Mm-hmm. Will you remind our listeners how they can find O-School, what the web addresses are O-School, and how they can dive into more?
Sure. We're www.o.school.
Oh, that's easy.
I like the name.
We're the O-School.
Yeah. .com and everything. That's awesome.
Yeah. No .com. It's just .school.
.school.
It's literally .school, like a .edu or like the O-School, .school.
It's not O-H, everyone. It's just O, the letter.
Yeah. Yes. It's www.o.school.
Cool. Well, Andrea, this was remarkable. I'm happy to know what sex tech actually is, what it means, what it's doing for the world. And for all those folks out there that have some innovation in their brains, don't hesitate to move forward and go out and make things happen. I think that there's room and space for more of sex products. There's more room for things that better your bodies and your increased pleasure and keep learning. So thank you for joining us, Andrea, and sharing your gifts with our listeners and with us.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. We do want to give a shout out to marginswine.com. We love Margins Wine. See why? Go to marginswine.com. Sign up for Megan Bell's newsletter. She only releases two very small limited batches. You will love it. So sign up. And we will see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.